Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So when you first come to this place, this Zendo, when first time you go to any Zendo, and it's a little dark, it's empty, you know. And when you first come, when you first come in and you see the cushions in this empty Zendo, it's very inspiring. It's very touching. It touches something in us. Something beyond ourselves. And we feel a kind of perfection and freedom in the simplicity of the cushions arranged neatly in a quiet space. And we feel a kind of universal connection and oneness. The feeling of the potential that is inherent in us. This universal feeling. It feels very good. It feels very good. So you see these cushions in the Zendo, and they are ready to accept anyone who comes. They make no distinction. An old teacher in China coined the term for human beings as skin bags. We are nothing but skin bags. So the cushions are ready to accept all the skin bags. All skin bags of the world, all the flavors. Just to sit quietly and to practice being, just being. And after the zazen, after our sitting, we straighten up and we leave, the cushions are ready to again accept whoever comes. It's like a flower ready to bloom again. So eventually you feel that each cushion is life itself. Today, someone appears to sit. Later, someone else comes to it. And sometimes when you come to the Zendo, you appear at this cushion, and the next time you appear at that cushion. Sometimes this one, and sometimes over there. So each day, the practice is the same, and it is also not the same. So the life of the Zendo and the life of the Zafu is exactly the same as your life. So actually the Zafu that we sit on is more than just a black bag stuffed with some material. The Zafu is more than a cushion, because we bring ourselves to it. So when you sit in the Zazen, the cushion is you, and you are the cushion. And that's the feeling we have in the Zendo. So when you sit with your mind still, quiet, you touch the source of your existence. And you express your infiniteness. So this is why the Zendo is kind of a holy place. Because the creative timelessness is expressed in the quiet activity here. And it's here where our great potential comes alive. So with our upright Zazen posture and our firm attitude, we pay respects. We pay respect to timelessness and our great potential. So in the famous Lotus Sutra, somebody is asked about what if a young boy is teaching, and the master says, I will become a servant to him who explains the Dharma. The importance of the Dharma is not so much in the words. The Dharma is about letting go of the self. So we need to know the true meaning of servant and explain. I will become a servant to him who explains the Dharma. What do we mean by servant? What do we mean by explain? So I think there may be three ways of experiencing explaining. Three ways to experience explaining. So, first, I think, is to become a follower of somebody who you think is very knowledgeable, who you feel can explain to you some truth through their words in a very logical and intellectual way. This is the usual way people learn things. This is the usual way people expect to learn something, by listening to a knowledgeable person. But in our practice, we understand explaining a bit differently. So there's the second way to experience explaining, and that is to practice, to take care of your posture, to take care of your cushion, to take care of your Zendo, your practice place, to take care of others, to take care of yourself. In other words, the second way of experiencing explaining is through your own mindful activity. No words are needed. Your relationships with people and with things will explain the Dharma when you let them. And the third way of understanding explaining, the ultimate meaning of explain, is to let your own life be a servant to life without waiting for explanation, without waiting to be told what to do, or without waiting to be told what the truth is. Let your life be a servant to life without waiting. Then you can see that life itself is always explaining the Dharma. So I think most people like to pursue the very first way of experiencing explaining, to seek a knowledgeable person and to look for words that will explain. That's the usual way. But actually, they desperately want the third kind without knowing that they do. All of us want to find freedom in selflessness. But to have that happen, we first of all have to understand the second way of explaining, and that is through the practice. We have to learn, we have to know how to take care, to know how to be in service with our own life. We have to learn the meaning of servant. I will be a servant to him who explains the Dharma. So we practice giving. We practice taking care of that which takes care of us. We practice taking care of that which explains the Dharma. Being the servant precedes the explanation. The explanation is in the taking care. So when we are here in this Zendo, we don't face into each other, we turn our face to the wall, we turn our gaze to the wall. But our understanding is that facing the wall is not facing the wall. We are actually facing outwards to the whole world. All of us sitting in here in the morning, facing that way, we are all facing outward to the world. We are facing everything. Not just the wall, we are facing everything. We are ready for anything. We are giving up everything. And that kind of practice, facing the world, gives us the opportunity to see the whole universe with our body posture and our mind posture. So when we sit together in a room like this, with our backs to each other, facing the world, we are like the vast body facing the vast body. And if this sounds confusing, that's okay. It will seem confusing if you try to reason it out or analyze it. So it's not logical. vast body is facing the vast body. Don't think about it. Don't use your mind to try to understand. Let your understanding and the explanation unfold with your practice. So only when we sit with an empty mind can the vast body face the vast body. So we talk about empty mind, emptiness of mind. It does not mean a blank or useless mind. The empty mind is not a mind that does not think. The empty mind is the mind that knows how to think and when it needs to think. So when we say empty mind, we mean we are allowing our thinking mind to do zazen. So Zen is the practice of living in each moment completely. When we try to talk like this to people, most people will say, most people believe, I can't do that. I can't live completely. I have too many problems. It's too hard. My life is too complicated. I have too many responsibilities. Further, they may say, when I am relieved of my problems, I will be able to live completely. This is a misunderstanding. Because the problems that we have are mostly created by ourselves. We create problems in our life when we don't know ourselves, when we don't know who we are. So these problems are created out of our ego, misunderstanding ourselves. But even when we know ourselves, we will create problems. We can't escape it. But these are the kinds of problems that will help us. The problems that we have when we know who we are. They will help us because there is no ego involved. So it's better to have some problems in our life rather than no problems. Just let's not create problems out of misunderstanding or of not knowing who we are. At my home, there's a garden in my home with lots of flowers, lots of plants. And the bees like to come to the flowers and find the nectar. And I like to watch them. Sometimes a bee will go from plant to plant and flower to flower and just go for a moment and leave and go for a moment and leave. Because it's not finding anything. Then it will land on some flower that does have some nectar. But the bee is always trying, often not connecting. But the honeybee does not recognize failure. Even when a plant that she visits has no nectar, the honeybee has no concern for her scorecard, her efficiency, the productivity of her efforts. The bee visits many plants, And each visit brings life. Without any special effort or without any idea of a success. B is just doing her ordinary thing. Ordinary and universal at the same time. No need to think about it. She has no need to think about it. Each bee visit to a plant and each bee touching a plant is life itself. She brings life in each visit without any concern for failure. We can learn a lot by observing the bees. So our modern world is fast and very busy. And there is a great emphasis these days on efficiency and saving time. We want to be efficient. But the more we do, you know, the less efficient we can be. Our zazen is the practice of being efficient, even though it looks like we're doing nothing. Zazen is the practice of being efficient in the universal sense. And the irony is it looks like we're doing nothing. Usually we measure something called efficiency by analyzing the results of our efforts. We count the number of things that we make in a certain period of time. We count how far we've traveled in a certain period of time. Efficiency usually means analyze the results of what we are doing. But if we want to understand our life, that's not the way. If we want to understand ourselves, it won't come by analyzing ourselves that way. How efficient am I? It's just a number. It's not ourself. Cannot understand our life or ourself in terms of efficiency. So when you come to this practice, when you start to explore or engage in your spiritual life, it may seem very vague and ambiguous, and you don't know what it is. You can't measure it. There's no efficiency, so you wonder, what is it? What does it mean? I'm drawn to it, but I don't understand it. Let it be vague. Let it be ambiguous. Don't try to sort it out. Let it be confusing and subjective. Don't try to clarify your spiritual activity through your reason. And don't worry that it may seem to be inefficient. Such as, well, I sat for 40 minutes today and I never had one moment of silence. Very inefficient. this is not something to worry about. That will only upset you. Let it be vague, let it be inefficient, let it be ambiguous. Don't worry if you are productive or not. Just simply have confidence in your practice. Have confidence in the instinct and the intuition that brings you to practice. Have confidence in yourself. So, our practice is about letting go of our attachment to literal thinking and be ready to receive the explanation when it appears. We don't need to analyze our life to understand our life. Through our practice, we will understand. Through our practice, we will understand everything. We will understand ourselves and understand everything through our daily life activities. And this understanding that unfolds moment by moment through our activities is the greatest efficiency. Does anyone have a question? Yes, please.
Les, sitting in Zazen is extremely painful. And you talked a little bit about the Zafus. And a basic Google or Amazon search, shopping for Zafus will show you can buy some that are ergonomic and some that are made of memory foam and some that are made from kapok and buckwheat and all kinds. So I think a lot of people have been struggling physically how to sit as comfortably as possible in Zazen. And I remember the first time I sat an extended session. Some of the most experienced practitioners were even struggling physically. Your back starts to hurt, your legs hurt, they go numb. And even today, I still find these moments where it just becomes so physically intolerable to sit and remain in Zazen. How do we come to terms with the fact that sitting in Zazen will always be physically painful?
Well, we don't have to be too strict with ourselves. You know, in the ancient days, in the monasteries, they are very strict with themselves. If you move, you get hit. But we don't have to do that. We don't see that as necessary. So it's okay to shift posture. It's okay to get off the Zafu and sit in a chair for a time. It's okay to simply stand up for Zazen for a few minutes, or to walk in walking meditation. As long as we maintain the attitude, we should go to the limit of our comfort and not quit at the first moment of discomfort, but go a little bit further and say, I can do this. But it's also a mistake to push ourselves to have pain that's intolerable. We can get up. We can change posture. As long as we continue working towards a selfless mind. I don't think we need to tell ourselves that Zazen will always be physically painful. Better is to say, I don't know what it will be like tomorrow, but I'll do my best to respond to it without turning away. So it's our attitude that's the main component of our practice. So feel free to adjust your posture or sit in a chair or whatever enables you to keep going. A soft mind is important. I've been with people in some very cold places. Very cold, and sitting with just a t-shirt, and people who sit without moving, but they're in such pain that they're quivering, you know? When you get to know them, they're just people. So let's keep a soft mind and a tolerant attitude towards ourselves when things start to feel painful.
Good evening, Les, and everybody. I really enjoyed the analogy of the vast body and having that understanding, having come here several times to. It's a nice metaphor. One question I've had is, I'm not sure exactly what is on the table when we finish our practice and you come over and you seem to light the candles and do some things. I'm wondering if maybe you could explain what is it that you do there, and if there's this particular significance to what's on the table.
Well, you mean the ritual?
Yes, the ritual at the when we finish our practice. Sure.
So we offer incense. When you study incense, you see, it's glowing, and it gives off light and a bit of warmth. So by offering incense, we are offering our own light and our own warmth to the Buddha and to everybody. And we do this activity, offering incense, and it has no practical value. You can't use it. So, you know, when we have our ritual, we're really taking a break from those productive things we try to do all the time, things that are useful, we do something useful, something not useful, in the usual sense, not utilitarian. And we just do it. To give warmth and light. And the stick of zazen reminds us of our own life. And what is called the evanescence of things. Things don't last. Things provide some heat, some warmth, and some light. And in the end, they're gone. So we offer incense as a ritual to remind ourselves that that's our life. That's what we do. We offer our own warmth and our own light for a period of time. And we do it this way, upright, upright. So, you know, when it's your turn to offer a stick of incense, you make sure it's like this, not like that. Just straight. And it's very inspiring, this small act, this small ritualistic act. It's very inspiring. And has no value except to remind us who we are. Yes, Bonnie.
So you talked a lot about not needing to be efficient and productive and analyze results and how we need to have basically a broader perspective. So I understand the value of that and how this kind of productivity proving ourselves mindset has its limitations. It's very narrow-minded. And what I find in the practice, though, is the more centered I become and clear, the more insane the rest of the world feels, the more out of balance Silicon Valley feels. And I'm trying to see how to bridge the gap. But I did benefit a lot from Nick's question, actually, because you were talking about pain in zazen. So I don't experience a lot of pain in zazen, because when I start experiencing pain in zazen, I move. And I figure, well, I have enough pain in my life to work with. I'm not going to add more. I think if I did yoga and other stuff, it would probably get easier, too. But I appreciate less what you said about being in discomfort, so we're practicing with discomfort, but we're not pushing ourselves into significant pain. So I think that there might be a lesson for me in that, because it's not so much physical pain sensations as it is kind of mental pain as I go out in the world and I see, lack of integrity, manipulations, pain, injustice, oppression, racism, sexism, as I'm encountering these things and grappling, like, how do I maintain integrity in a situation where there's so much out of integrity around me and there is a kind of mental pain. So I'm realizing that maybe I need to find that balance of practicing where I am growing because I'm uncomfortable, I'm not in my comfort zone, but also step back or take smaller steps or somehow protect myself so that I'm not in too much pain or taking on too much. So that conversation helped me, but it's something I'm still working with. You know, I'm like preparing for interviews right now because I'm planning to change jobs, and it's all about prove your analysis, show your analytical skills, show how productive you can be, show how efficient you can be. And so I need to find a place for that while also not losing what's outside of that. I know that was a lot of information, sorry, but... how to be myself and be in the world and be connected with the world too.
So continue your open mind. And observe the way you are in various situations. So there are times when we are faced with a difficulty and we have to resolve it. We have to solve a problem because that's our life. But while we are engaged in that kind of activity, we have to make sure that we are maintaining our integrity, we're maintaining our awareness, we're not letting ourselves get carried away by the difficulty, continuous difficulty, repetitive difficulty. We try to take care of the difficulty, but for us, the highest priority is staying aware of how we are doing in this moment. Am I getting carried away? Am I getting angry? Do I have equanimity? Am I being fair? Am I being foolish? Am I fooling myself? Or am I being clear about what's going on? So while we engage in all of these things of the everyday world, we have to keep a sense of ourselves. And this, of course, this capacity will grow as we sit, as we continue to sit. We will know ourselves more and more through our practice. So if you are anticipating having to take care of some major problem tomorrow, it might help to think about it beforehand, how you might take care of it. But more important than that is to know that you will be yourself tomorrow, whatever happens. And you will handle it with integrity.
Hello, Les.
Good evening.
I had a question about community and spirituality and how you view those two things and how they coexist for something like spirituality that is so individualistic.
I think spirituality can only be expressed and experienced within community. Whether that is community with your friends, or community with between you and the bees, or you and nature, our spiritual self can only be expressed when we feel, you know, our unity in our community with all things. I don't think they can be separated. So many years ago, some woman said to me, "I'm a very spiritual person." I didn't know this woman hardly at all. I said, "Oh, so... that's nice. What is it you do for other people?" She said, "I don't have time for that." "I don't have time to take care of other people, but I'm very spiritual." I never saw her again after that to see how it was going. Don't have time for other people. Thank you.
This talk was brought to you by the Cannondoe Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to cannondoe.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.